Live from Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruriak. There will be no strike tomorrow at schools in the Sacramento City Unified School District. The teachers' union says it is making some progress in negotiations. The budget situation is much better, and there are other issues that have postponed or for now called off that strike. However, there will be an education rally at the state capitol with teachers coming to Sacramento from all over the state. It's being called the Red for Ed Day of Action. Joining me now from San Francisco to talk about this is Lily Jamali. She is co-host and correspondent for the California Report. She's covered school strikes in Los Angeles and Oakland. She also covered that one-day strike in the Sac City School District last month. Lily, thanks for joining us on Insight.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me, Beth.
With what I just said, that you've covered school districts all over the state, what issues are you seeing that they have in common?
Yeah, we see a lot of common issues. I think, you know, first and foremost, it's demands for better pay. And that's particularly pronounced in places like here in the Bay Area, where Oakland teachers hit the picket line in March, in Los Angeles, where we saw a strike in January. But it's not unique to these more expensive parts of the state. Even in rural communities like Madera, you hear complaints about the high cost of living and how teacher salaries simply are not keeping up. But it's not just pay or benefits. It's also things that affect students, that affect their parents, and what happens in the classroom. Things like smaller class size. I hear that issue come up again, the desire to really do something about the student-to-teacher ratio. They are often asking for more support staff, whether that is nurses or counselors. And so, you know, you have your what you would expect in a labor action, the types that we have seen up and down the state, but you also have these other things that really do impact the students. And, you know, I think one of the bigger picture issues that all of these strikes that we've seen this year have raised is that our method for funding education in California is in dire, dire straits. And the current state of affairs has really been in the works for generations.
It sounds like that is a lot of the impetus for this rally tomorrow. I'm looking right now at a statement by the Sac Unified School Board President, Jessie Ryan, and she wrote, "I'm grateful that rather than striking on May 22nd, parents, students, community, district staff, and teachers will join forces to demand full and fair funding at CTA's Red for Ed Capital Action Day." This is a loud cry across the state for, I think, exactly what you're speaking to, some systemic change.
Absolutely. And the Red for Ed movement is not unique to to California, certainly. It's a labor movement that has been started by public school teachers all over the country. Schools across the country are experiencing a lot of these same issues of underfunding in Denver, in Chicago. And, you know, California has really been a focal point because we have had so many labor actions from L.A., then Oakland to Sacramento with that one-day strike in April. And it definitely feels like, you know, one district is looking at the next, the one that came before it, and kind of taking notes on how things went. What's interesting to me about Sacramento in particular is that they went on strike last month and almost went on strike again tomorrow while they had a contract in hand, a contract that was negotiated back in 2017. And that's how things in Sacramento at Sacramento City Unified are very different than was the case in L.A., was the case in Oakland. They were fighting for a contract in both of those places. And so all of these other districts are really looking at Sacramento, training their focus on what happens there because where you are, because it's almost like, you know, you can fast forward 18 months if you're a teacher in L.A. to see what's to come. Because the question for those districts is, how are we going to pay for that, in L.A.'s case, 6% pay hike that we just gave to teachers? Same thing in Oakland. And so the question in Sacramento becomes, are the promises that teachers think that they were made by the district, are they going to be delivered upon? And if they're not, I think that teachers are very concerned that that would set a bad precedent for all of these other districts in the state. There are 1,100 school districts in this state, which is pretty astounding. And so there's definitely, I think, an exchanging of notes happening. And there is a very similar playbook wherever you look.
We need to note the issue of healthcare benefits, because under the umbrella of pay and the overall contract, there is this specific aspect of healthcare, which is part of what's been so negotiated and moved around in the Sac Unified School District and even prompted the arbitrator's involvement.
That's a great point. Benefits are, you know, absolutely one of the top concerns, in addition to salary, that we hear, whether you're talking about a rural district in the Central Valley, take Madera, or whether you're talking about Sacramento. And the dynamic in Sacramento at Sacramento City Unified is that they'll say they're spending 91 cents on every dollar on benefits and salaries. And they will say that this is the result of agreements that were hatched long ago, you know, decades ago, in fact. And so even though each district has its own dynamic, Sacramento in particular made these promises to fund health benefits for teachers who have retired at 100% from what they say. So even by, you know, by any standard, I think it's fair to say that's a fairly generous offer. Having said that, if you talk to teachers, they'll say, yeah, you know, I chose this profession because I knew I was going to make less over a lifetime. This is work that is important. It's important to our futures, to our communities. But I chose this profession knowing I was going to make less. And so I deserve to have something in retirement. So that's, you know, definitely there's two ways to look at that. But the overhang of pensions always comes up. It is an ongoing issue, and there are a lot of unfunded liabilities in districts throughout the state, no doubt about that.
You spent time on the picket line in Oakland. As you said, you were here in Sacramento. What's the attitude toward a strike in general, Lily? Is it looked at as an ultimate last resort, or is it a tool along the way based on how negotiations are going?
It's a really good question. I do think that it is seen as a tool of last resort. Certainly, that's what the unions will say. I don't think strikes are good for anybody. You know, this means if you're a teacher that you are going out on the picket line and not getting paid. But I do think that they have felt they have very little choice. And I think it's fair to say the more strikes happen in different corners of the state, the more other districts that are thinking about it, and there are a lot of them, the more that kind of gives them motivation to say, you know what, let's take this chance in the short term and roll the dice, because it seems to have worked in other places. Just yesterday here in the Bay Area, in the New Haven Unified School District, this is over where Hayward and Union City are located, they just went on strike. Listen to this, for the first time in their history yesterday. So this is not, you know, a common tactic. It's, I think, you know, people really feel that they have been driven to the brink. Again, you know, the Bay Area's housing situation, the cost of living here is, I think it's fair to say, somewhat unique. It is really hard for teachers in Oakland, for example, making, I think it's about $46,000 a year. When you have a one-bedroom apartment renting on average for about $3,000 a month, you know, it's really hard to make that math add up to pencil out. And so so I do think that this is not a it's not necessarily something that anyone wants. But I do think when I look at it, you know, partly as a journalist who has been covering these stories and going out on the picket line, I do think that if nothing else, going on strike has forced a conversation that might not have happened otherwise. We can talk a little bit about Prop 13 at some point. This is something that probably a lot of Californians haven't heard of. It was passed in the late 70s, and it has really fundamentally changed the way that schools are funded in our state. Suddenly, Prop 13 is getting a whole lot more press than it has in the last couple of decades. And I do think that has something to do with these labor actions. And we're also getting, you know, in addition to the additional media coverage, which I think is helpful, we're getting some of the nuance here. You know, it is complicated. Even on the picket line in Oakland, I met a teacher who was striking, and yet her daughter is in a charter school because from her perspective, you know, that little girl is the most important investment she's ever going to make. And there are really no second chances when it comes to you know, your kids. So you want to get it right.
If you are just joining us, I'm talking with Lily Jamali. She is co-host and correspondent for the California Report. Educators, students, administrators from all over the state will gather for a big full day tomorrow at the state capitol in Sacramento. It culminates with a rally at 5 o'clock. I think 5 o'clock was chosen, Lily, so that people who attend school as normal could have their school day and then make it down in time for the rally in the evening. But you just touched on three different topics. I want to try to hit each of them a little bit. You've mentioned Oakland. Oakland teachers did get a raise. And is it fair to say that it's a raise that might not have come if they hadn't chosen to go on strike?
I think that's fair to say. But I think if you also talk to individual Oakland teachers, there is a lot of frustration about that contract. They're not thrilled by the contract that they got. I think a lot of them see the additional pay raises as and other concessions as very incremental given the extreme cost of living in their community. I think that, you know, one of the things that the Oakland Unified School District and the union there are going to have to grapple with, similar story in LA, is how do you pay for the contract that you just negotiated? So from the district's perspective, they're thinking, this is going to be a lot of money for us. How do we manage this? Where is this money going to come from? And from the teacher side, you still have the same frustration over pay, over school sizes, and a lot of, I think, angst, frankly, among educators, among the teachers themselves, among school nurses, among counselors. So at the end of it all, to be honest, I don't think anybody is happy.
The next topic that you referenced that I want to make sure we visit is a little bit about Prop 13, because Prop 13 may look like it's creating a lot of problems. The flip side of it is that you need the political will in the community of lawmakers to really make any change there, probably within the voters, too. And I don't know what the gauge of that is right now, Lily.
Yeah, well, the, you know, Cliff Notes version of what Prop 13 is, and there's a great episode that my partners at the California Report magazine did on Prop 13, which I highly encourage folks to listen to. What it essentially did was it was passed in the late 70s by California voters, and it was put in place really to address a different problem, which was people being pushed out of their homes or close to it because their property tax bills kept going up, up and up. And so it was aimed at addressing that problem. But what it did, and the current state of affairs is if you go on a block in Oakland, and you'll see this if you listen to this episode I reference, you'll see people on different sides of the same street will be paying very different amounts in property taxes. If you bought your house in, let's say, 1975, you might be paying $1,000 a year versus across the street, someone's paying $20,000 a year. So the result of that is this sort of generational defunding of schools. And I think that there is a real movement to do something about that. You know, there has been some recent polling out about a ballot initiative that could come as soon as 2020 that would raise $11 billion for K through 12 and community college education. And the California School Boards Association took a poll that shows majority support for changing the way that some of this funding is had by raising taxes on companies making a certain amount, by raising taxes on individuals that make, I think it's $1 million. So really trying to do something to address this systemic change that resulted in California going from one of the top, one of the leaders in the country when it comes to per pupil funding to one of the, you know, very last. I think we're number 44th in the country.
41st now.
Front.
We've moved up on
41st.
That list.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But I think we were as low as 46 at one point. So the state, the state has shifted.
Yeah. For sure. And I think that, you know, funding is really key. We haven't talked a whole lot about charter schools, and I can't emphasize enough how important that is to this conversation
as
well.
That's the other point I want you to hit, Lily, because they can be a real point of contention when you bring up school funding.
Yeah, that is putting it mildly, Beth. No doubt about it. The problem as critics see it is that charter schools take funding away from districts, funding that would have gone to those districts instead, essentially. And I'm, you know, probably simplifying this considerably, but really gets rerouted to these charter schools. As we sit here talking to each other, there are a series of bills that are making their way through the legislature aimed at bringing more transparency and accountability to charter schools. There's a sense, I think, that charter schools have had a pretty long leash for quite a while now, and that needs to end. It's clear to me that Governor Gavin Newsom is there with people who believe that. Just back in March, he signed legislation that aimed to increase transparency. Again, we have 1,300 charter schools, and this would require them to follow similar rules to what regular school districts have to follow, whether it's open meetings, openness with public records. So board meetings, for example, would need to be made open to the public. This is something that's already, action that's already been taken and signed off on by the governor. There are new bills that are working their way through. Also, placing a cap on charter schools is one idea that's in the state capitol right now. Giving local school districts more of a say on which charter schools get approved is another.
One thing I want to circle back around on with New Haven, is that the community mm-hmm. that you said that's poised for a strike? Does New Haven
actually hit the picket line yesterday, if I'm not mistaken.
So does that fall under the same umbrella of issues we're talking about, or is something different happening in that district?
I think that it's very similar in some respects to what we have already seen. I mean, looking through their what they consider their top demands, pay is the biggest one on the list. They have sort of painted a picture of, that teachers are frankly insulted by the amount of a pay increase that they are being offered. And I think that is indicative, again, of the cost of living issue that is somewhat unique to the Bay Area. It is extraordinarily expensive now, and you're having teachers coming in from, sometimes hours away to teach at these schools. And, what that also creates is a situation where you have teachers who aren't living in the communities where they work, which is also problematic. So I think in that particular case, my understanding is that pay is a big part of it. But again, when you have these systemic issues of underfunding, you can get to that contract. LA did it and Oakland did it. They got the contract with the pay that I think, at least the union was happy with, if not the teachers. But the question remains, if you don't have the funding in place, how are you going to pay for it? In Sacramento, coming back to what's happening in that district, I think about, this is a place that has an already agreed upon contract. And now you have a dynamic where the district and the union can't seem to even agree on what that contract actually calls for. They're wrangling over things like, how did it work out that teachers gave these concessions on healthcare, for example? They say they gave something back and now they want those smaller class sizes. They want that increase in support staff that all these other districts are also clamoring for. And yet, with that contract in hand, the district is saying, actually, you agreed to make those concessions and actually sign up for these plans before we even got to the table to talk about where that money was going to go.
All right, Lily. Well, as you say, there is a lot of background on this. Tomorrow will be a big day. And just to go over the schedule with a little more clarity, the home base for everybody in the area of 12th and L Street will open up at 9:30 tomorrow morning. There is a march that will happen at 1:30 tomorrow afternoon through downtown Sacramento. The music and entertainment at the Capitol begin at 4, and then that rally on the west steps of the Capitol is scheduled for 5 o'clock. So there's a lot happening throughout the day there. And we'll post a link, Lily, because the Prop 13 series that you mentioned is part of the California Dream Project, which a lot of stations, including Cap Radio, collaborated on. And you're right, it's a terrific resource. So we'll make sure folks have that as well. Thank you. We're not going to see you here tomorrow for a strike as planned, but I know you'll be continuing to cover, as we all will, the Sac Unified School situation. And I'm glad to have you join us today for this conversation that is important in such an overall way in education in California.
Thanks so much, Beth.
And that is Lily Jamali. She's co-host and correspondent for the California Report. She was joining us from San Francisco. Once again, no strike tomorrow, but that day of action will be at the Capitol. There's much more at capradio.org. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio.